little die, do 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 I.
I'm the number one song in karaoke bars now. And a reason. It's pretty clear because you can be drunk and sing this.
It's hard to spell out the words. Bottom of the screen.
Yeah, you karaoke sometimes. If you're buzzed, you can't necessarily see the screen. You don't need to see the screen for this. That's why it's so popular. At 6:08, the Steve Cochran Show continues. Nice win for the Hawks last night. Hawks get it done again, and my favorite commie, or Temi Panarin, getting it done as well.
Breadman.
Yeah. Yes. I just love the kid's attitude.
He just looks like he's having so much fun.
And why not, right?
Yeah, right.
He's 24 years old. He's doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And
easy on the eyes.
I can't speak to that. But he's scoring goals. His buddy is Patrick Kane, one of the best to ever play by the time his career is over, and certainly number one this year. I mean, it's just nothing but good things for him.
And he's learning more English.
He's learning just enough to stay out of trouble.
Right.
And he's got the Calder Cup in his back pocket.
Yes, he does, which is very uncomfortable if you sit on it.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Micah Halpern will be coming up. We've got this problem that's been percolating all week between, it shouldn't say all week, it's been percolating for a couple of thousand years. Between Saudi Arabia and the people of Iran. Well, not the people of Iran, the government of Iran. Chuck Todd later as well. And in the 7 o'clock hour on Thursdays when we do the politics, we got Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein. And then Rick Pearson will be on. Is Rick in studio with us?
He'll be on the phone this morning at 7:10.
All right, so he'll give us some news of local and statewide and international and galactical politics. He's very big on the galactical.
Well, with Star Wars and everything, I guess perfect timing.
Now, will you cover the Dean stuff today and give us another one of your slam bang entertainment showbiz wrap-ups?
Absolutely. Okay. Happy to do it.
Where is Dean today, Kim?
Dean just told me the other day he's traveling Wednesday through Friday, so I'm assuming he's interviewing celebrities.
Wait, a stagecoach? Traveling Wednesday through Friday?
Well, he's out of...
Making his way west to settle?
He just said out of town Wednesday through Friday.
Wow.
That's all he said.
Doesn't he have a cell phone?
Stopping up at the trading post.
There are ways to contact us when you leave Miss Kitty's saloon.
Well, circle back, make sure he's okay.
Unless he's staying by Ma and Pa Ingalls. I don't have a phone line yet.
I'll be traveling Wednesday through Friday and have no way to contact the outside world. I don't care. I'm intrigued now to know why he couldn't at least fax us or something else, you know, modern like that.
I'll get some more details.
Maybe he's on a secret mission, like you were.
A secret entertainment mission?
Well, that's what you were on, a secret mission for a couple of days, so he took it over.
What would a secret entertainment mission be? Go inside the Kardashians' house and pretend you're one of them?
Yeah, maybe he's on a reality series.
Got a fantasy football player.
Survivor.
Do we have a playoff champ already in fantasy football?
Season's over.
No, I know. Dave won that.
Yeah, because our playoffs ended the last week of the NFL regular season.
All right, so
what?
We will.
Yes. Oh.
So we have an ultimate champion.
We have a champion, yes.
But we haven't announced the ultimate champion.
No, we have yet to announce it.
Okay, because Dave got two trophies. Andrea spiked one and broke it.
No, but I glued it. Have you seen it? And shined it. I spit shined it.
Have you seen where it is?
No.
Have you looked in your drawer in the newsroom?
You put it in there?
Well, it broke again.
What did you do? Throw it against the wall?
I didn't throw it anywhere. You glued it, but it wasn't sufficient.
We sent interns to go get super glue. I even super glued the desk.
We super glued an intern to the desk.
Yeah, super glue costs more than the trophy.
Thank you, Mayor.
Wait, we don't have interns. I don't even know how that happened.
Oh,
we actually hired an intern. We hired an intern just to make a super glue run for this.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, we'll find out what happens there. And speaking of sports... But sort of a sports.
Yeah, sports segue.
Mark Giangreco will be on in the 9 o'clock hour to explain why he's not in jail.
This will be good because I think, if I'm not mistaken, this will be his first New Year's, post-New Year's interview.
Here's how we're going to play it. We're going to play it the way they play it in 2016. Everyone in the media says this. Even if everyone else has already talked to him, this is exclusive breaking news.
That's right.
Mark Giangreco will join us. He hasn't spoken to anyone, including his family.
No.
Since New Year's Eve, because that's how exclusive this is.
And especially not Janet Davies.
You know, she seems to be very, very fond of him. She seems like they were okay when they came back from the break.
Good pals.
In case you missed what we're talking about on New Year's Eve, Mark Giangreco inexplicably licked his co-host, Jack Davies, on the cheek.
It was bizarre. And the weird thing...
Oh, it remains bizarre.
Not that that's not weird enough, but as Ennett pointed out, he kind of grabbed her by the neck.
Yeah. Awkward on every level.
Yeah.
Does he know that's why he's coming on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he and I have been friends forever.
Well, I know.
The last thing I'd do would be to bring him on and to bust without letting him know what the deal was.
You know who we need to get on the air tomorrow? Janet. Because maybe she's in hiding. Maybe it scarred her.
Maybe she's still scarred.
What do you think about what Janet Davies has seen?
Well, this is true.
In 30 years of Chicago media, or 25, whatever it's been.
And mainly entertainment.
Yeah.
She's seen a lot.
Yeah.
She was out at the rib competition with me. She was one of the panelists.
She's a very nice woman.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. She was great.
And then later, if you're like our old friend Max Armstrong, who spends New Year's Eve doing his taxes, if you're already just standing by your mailbox or standing by your computer waiting for your tax forms to arrive from all the various people in your life so you can actually file your taxes, we're going to do a very early edition of what you need to know this year, new tax law, things like that, with the CEO of Jackson Hewitt, a guy named David Prokopek.
Yeah, there's some new things you need to know, too. And the story came out earlier this week that even if you get your state income tax returns filed, you're not going to see those refunds till March 1st. But it has nothing to do with the state budget.
So tell me that again.
Say you get all your federal and your state taxes done, the state's going to not issue refunds till March 1st.
So you can send them in today.
Yeah, you're not going to get it till March 1st.
You know what this has become? The state of Illinois is like a party where everybody's having a good time, and then the one freeloader shows up. You know who the freeloader is? The state of Illinois. It's like everybody's standing around and going, ah, it's so good. Uh-oh. State of Illinois is here. Hey, if he asks you for money, don't give him any. He never pays you back.
Here comes the land of Lincoln.
Oh, he's a double dipper in the chips. It's the state of Illinois. We can't trust him. I wish he'd just get help. As far as paying your taxes go, if you owe money to Illinois, and this is probably good, but, I mean, it's the same sort of system, Illinois will send out a voucher that says, just give me what you got. And it literally says, just give me what you got. And then there's a line where you put in the number.
And then it says LOL at the bottom.
So bad.
It is so bad.
Anyway, we'll talk about that in the politics hour as well. It's 6:15, and before we continue and join Micah Halpern, can you give Mike, Kev, our first caller, any prizes you'd like to give him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you want me to tell you now what we're giving him?
Yeah, why don't you?
How about the Granite Peak Ski Vacation Package for two?
Mike's a big skier.
He's a big skier. You get two nights at the Hampton Inn, 2 days of skiing, at Rib Mountain in Wisconsin.
Rib Mountain? It's a mountain made of ribs?
Yeah. That sounds awesome. I want to go there.
Out there.
Thought about my ribs, but I ain't want to let my ribs burn and stuff.
Granite Peak at Rib Mountain in Wausau.
Yes, in Wausau. Has 72 runs for skiers and snowboarders. Visit SkiGranitePeak.com to plan your getaway. Congrats to Mike for that.
And why don't you also give him a Lou Malnati's gift certificate?
Perfect.
Lou Malnati's.
How about the Chevy prize pack as well?
Sure, and I'll tell you about that. The Chevy prize pack's fabulous. It's ChevyDriveChicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Steve Cochran and Micah Halpern joins us now at Micah Halpern, all over social media, MICAHHALPERN. Micah, what do you find yourself doing these days? Mostly just traveling around speaking to everybody?
I am. You caught me in South Dakota actually speaking to a group of CEOs, briefing them on security and terror and what's going on in the world. But I'm, I do speaking and writing, of course, in media and all those kinds of things.
Where I'm invited. Yeah, and it's always a pleasure to have you here, so you know how much I appreciate your time. You wrote a book called Thugs, and I believe Kim Jong-un's... pardon me. Can one of you guys grab me a water? Something special out of the bar? Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, I believe was a subject you covered in Thugs. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct.
And Kim Jong-un, the offspring, was not supposed to be the new leader of Korea, but his older brother went rogue, or what happened there?
Yeah, and there's a lot of issues. He actually had a whole Western orientation, and the father didn't really think that he was appropriate for that either, because he was majorly Western educated and a big fan of the NBA and all this kind of stuff. It was sort of weird. But what happens very often is that those who are expected to lead don't end up leading, because when the chips are down, they don't fulfill what the thug's father really wanted done. That's what happened with the reshuffling there in North Korea.
What is the really followed
in the footsteps of his father? There's no question.
What is the hold over the people of North Korea? It is a poor, uneducated population, underfed population. But is it a notion that the Kim Jong-un family are godlike figures? How are they in charge of a country with a military that size? It seems to be very coup ready.
Well, it's sort of interesting. The threat of violence and the threat of mass arrest is great. And as a result, people are coming to line in order to avoid that kind of stuff. They give a cleaning set for the father. Everyone had to hang a picture of the father, and they gave a cleaning set to make certain that it was properly cleaned. The picture had to be properly cleaned. If it was bent or broken or twisted or dog-eared or anything like that, it was an arrestable offense. So the tyranny is great, and only a few people need to be tyrannical to get the rest of the people to conform to their whacked out crazy ideas.
Are you surprised that there hasn't been a very specific coup to remove this little knucklehead who clearly doesn't appear to be ready to run anything?
Certainly you would ask me that question, and I would say, the math sort of says, go out and do it. But both the character of the society as well as the nature of the tyranny and the aggression that the dictator has holds the people in power. The ruthlessness and brutality is just not worth it for people to risk stepping in the line. And it's brutal. It's really brutal. And it's not even brutal required cause and due process. The intelligence system there is enormously advanced, and they are spying on everyone. And so you've got to be really careful. So there's no way it's just an easy mathematical principle. There are more good people than there are bad, just overthrow them. It's the fear factor and the fear of punishment and reprisal and collective punishment, which is not just against you, it's against your whole family, is a big, big deal.
Yeah, and I find it, as I mentioned at the top of the show today, ridiculous to think that a country that couldn't fire a rocket over the body of water adjacent to their country suddenly figured out how to do a hydrogen bomb. But something clearly happened yesterday, and attention has to be paid.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. I get a little upset when I hear these analysts talking about bombs, and they're going to know the difference between a hydrogen bomb and a nuclear bomb, and they're talking about this and that and everything. So it'd be very easy for the Americans to determine what it was. They just need to be able to do the testing. And it takes a little time to both collect the data and then to analyze it. We will know what kind of bomb it was and if it was at all. Hydrogen bomb is a fusion bomb. A nuclear bomb is a fission bomb. So they're enormously different and very, very powerful, don't get me wrong. But it's a big difference. Anyone who paid any attention in chemistry and physics could make those determinations.
Mike, no matter whether it's decided hydrogen or not, fake or real, whatever it might be, and sanctions, tougher sanctions are imposed, does North Korea really care? I mean, it seems as though, kind of another slap on the wrist, like, no. And I don't think they care.
Well, that's sort of interesting. The style of the United States is no. And then after it happens, they say, oh, we told you not to do that. And that's really not a good foreign policy philosophy. Shaking your finger doesn't work with your adolescents either. It just doesn't work. So we've got to think about it that way. On the other hand, your point is well taken. That is, do they really care what the United States says? So they can do what they want. They take their lead from Russia, who's very clearly been told not to do things. They go off and do them anyhow. It's really no price to pay on that matter. There are no greater sanctions that can be put on North Korea. It's not like they're going to suffer anymore from what's going on. I mean, there are more details, but the principle is still there. They are, in the eyes of the Western world, a pariah nation. And that said, they still do whatever they want. And now, how on earth could they have developed such a weapon? They probably didn't develop it. They probably got it. And then they fine-tuned it, which would probably be the method. Or they had old versions of it and made it different. They have, in the past, experimented with different versions of weapons. But they've also faked it. So we're living with this.
Yeah, and of course, all this comes back to what it always comes back to, and that's that the only the only country they listen to is China, their big brother. And unless China gets actively involved and tells them to shut it down, that this nonsense continues. Moving on.
And we don't pay enough attention to what China says and does, by the way. And I read their output every day from their foreign ministry because I want to know what they're thinking. I really do. And they are on monitoring everything that's going on, and they have a point of view. So it's important to realize that. Yes.
Moving on, Saudi Arabia and Iran, there was a execution of a very popular Iranian cleric by the Saudis. Iran responded in different ways, including shutting down the embassy in Tehran, and protests broke out and threats go back and forth. What do we make of this?
This is the latest in a very long history of conflict between two massive swaths of Islam, and it's being played out all the time, every day before us. We're just not paying attention to it. The conflict in Syria is all about this. The conflict in Yemen is all about this. Almost every conflict that we have in the Middle East is about this. The difference between Sunnis and Shiites, and that's what we've got. So people say, "Oh, it's because the Saudis executed 27 people, and one of those people was a popular Shiite Shia." It's true, but it's not false, but it is not the reason why this is happening. This is a massive tension that within Islam itself, you can, we saw it in Iraq all the time, where Sunnis blew up Shiite mosques and killed hundreds of people, and Shiites blew up Sunni mosques and killed hundreds of people. They killed them on the way to pilgrimage, they killed them at pilgrimage sites. They kill them in the middle of prayer. And these are Muslims killing Muslims. And that's what we're seeing in Syria also. It's not people in favor of Assad versus not. It's not just a political conflict. It's a conflict between those who are siding with the Shia tradition, which is Assad, right? And that would be Hezbollah and Iran, versus those who are not, which are, by the way, you know, Russia is in there with Assad too. And which are the Saudi-backed groups, which happen to be, and this, you've got to keep your head on to this, happens to be ISIS, Al-Qaeda people who are challenging Assad. So Saudi Arabia is actually sponsoring that stuff also. We've got to realize that. It is a huge conflict, and it's not going to end. So seven Sunni nations throughout the Iranians, throughout their diplomatic presence, shut it down. Djibouti, you know, a tiny African nation on the way of Africa threw them out. Bahrain, Qatar, all these places, fill them out. And they did it because this is a massive attack against the Sunnis, and the Sunnis are responding. The Saudis doing the same thing with regard to oil. They're trying to make America suffer because America sided with Iran. The price of oil has dropped down to $35. We can't even produce oil in the United States for less than $50.
Right.
The other one was talking about American production of oil right now. For years, it's all we'll produce it here. It's ground to a halt. No investor, no production. The state of Alaska has to impose now an income tax. They never did because they were taxing oil production. Well, there's no oil production in Alaska right now. they're literally without a dime. Alaska. They need to tax people. And suddenly they're doing that because their break-even point is $30. And that's their number per gallon.
Well, it all comes down to money, power, and who can Bigfoot the other. But this seems to be more important than the North Korean story, at least at the moment. And, Micah, as always, we appreciate the education. It's at Micah Halpern, at MICAHHALPERN. More next with the big story right after this. Chuck Todd scheduled to appear. We're having a little trouble connecting with Chuck. Hopefully we'll get him on here in just a few moments. Dave, this would be a good opportunity for you to plug your Fight for Air Climb that you're doing.
Yeah, that's coming up on March the 6th, Steve, and you can join WGN Radio and me in the fight for an end to lung disease. We're going to climb the presidential towers in Chicago. It's the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb presented by United Healthcare. It's the biggest stair climb in Chicago. You can climb 1, 2, 3, or all 4 towers, 180 floors, 2,340 steps, and it's a great way to meet your own personal fitness goals. You can register now, and early bird registration is only $15. That's just until tomorrow. And if you can't climb, you can still help with the pledge in support of the WGN radio team. Go to fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100.
Since nobody won the $500 million, and it'll probably be somewhere between, what are they estimating, $700 and $800 million?
It's estimated to be at $675. No, it'll be way over that.
It'll be probably close to $800 million, I would guess, and it may actually approach a bit. What's the record? Did they get to it?
This would be the record. This would be the record. This will be the largest in U.S. history.
Time Magazine was nice enough to, Time Magazine Online, time.com, was nice enough to lay out the steps you need to take if you win.
Oh.
So if you win, here's what you need to do. You may want to write these down because I know you're planning on winning.
Yeah, wait.
Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Sign the back of the ticket. If you don't establish ownership, anyone can claim your prize. Now, I've never held a winning ticket for any amount of money. Is there a place to sign, or it's just signing so you have your signature on it?
You do have to sign the back of the lottery ticket.
Here's a ticket, Steve.
Who has the ticket?
My crumpled up ticket.
Did you include all of us in your purchase?
Is this your loser ticket from yesterday?
That's my loser ticket.
So you bought a ticket. What if you had won? Would you split it with us?
No.
So I do see the signature portion.
Okay.
So you need to sign the back of the ticket. You may want to throw that out for Dave since he didn't have a dress.
Did he have any numbers?
I don't know.
I had one.
So sign the back of the ticket, all right? That's step one. Put it in a safe place. We've heard stories, not very often, but we've heard stories many times where people have a winning lottery ticket and they can't find it. But they know they have it. Like they hid it somewhere.
Mm.
And then they forgot where they hid it. There's a famous case in Baltimore a couple of years ago where it went back and forth between two parties, and it turns out one party was making the whole thing up, and they eventually, I think, found the ticket. But put it in a safe place. And a great way to find out if you have any friends or relatives who you can trust is to ask them to hold your winning lottery ticket.
Oh.
Yeah. Hire a lawyer and a financial advisor, and not someone you just Google and go, hey, I just won $500 million. I need a lawyer and a financial advisor. Hire somebody because you now have money. Hire somebody that is known to be trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody you see on TV at 2 o'clock in the morning. Somebody who's known to be trustworthy. And there's at least somebody in your family who can help you do that. There's instructions on the back of the
ticket. There's some very funny instructions underneath where you're supposed to sign if you have a winning ticket. It says care for tickets. This kind of falls in the hilarious category, you know, common sense type stuff. That says, number one, do not deface. So if you have, you think you won, don't circle the numbers. You can't deface the ticket. Don't iron it. There's a picture of an iron. It says, do not iron. Avoid heat. And there's a picture of a blazing sun. And keep dry with a picture of an umbrella.
Those all seem logical.
The lottery
needs to process your ticket.
Don't iron this.
Last tip from Time is don't announce it on social media. Now, it seems like, you know, because obviously, I won. Hashtag I won. Not a good idea.
All your lost lung relatives come out of the woodwork.
Right. They just forgot to tell you they loved you until just now. And Chuck Todd joins us from Meet the Press. Chuck is in at Chuck Todd all over social media. And Chuck, is there a Meet the Press lottery pool?
There wasn't. It was one of those actually talked about it yesterday. I think we were too busy to go do it. So there you go. Nobody won.
Do you expect that, or I should say, is it expected of you, as it is on this show, that you buy the tickets? I got to buy the tickets for everybody on this show. And by the way, everybody on this show is making pretty good money. But right. I'm expected to buy the tickets. Do you have to buy the tickets for everybody on your show?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I think it would have been better. But, you know, I didn't win.
Here's the deal. I'm in, you know, I said $2 for everybody. That's how great it is to work for me. $2 for everybody. You all get a ticket and buy an extra one for Chuck. I'm picking up a ticket for Chuck.
Oh, there you go.
That's what friends are for. At Chuck Todd on social media, meet the press on Sunday. Are you talking to Trump this weekend?
I am. Going out to Iowa on Saturday. I'm doing face to face. So he's back on.
You sound thrilled.
Oh, I know. I say this. It is. I do enjoy the back and forth with him. You know, you never know where it's going to go.
He refuses to come on this show because we've had fine interviews in the past, but I thoroughly enjoy your sit downs with him because you don't let him skate on things like so many other people do.
Well, you're kind of say that he is. Look, he's a very. It's an interesting interview, and you know he's determined to stick to what he wants to say. That's for sure.
He's the kind of guy. He would have left the Ford Theater, and he would have said, "I'm hearing things about John Wilkes Booth. I'm not saying it. Other people are saying it. I heard a gunshot. I think it may have been Booth, but it's not me. It's other people."
I tell you, the Cruz thing, that was very LBJ of him. I don't know if it's a problem, but I could be a problem. And it was. You know, look, he is, this is where he's masterful on the media front, because he knew that it wasn't going to be a big deal, but he threw Cruz off just for a day.
Yep.
Threw him off for about a day, day and a half. And now, you know, John McCain's being asked about it, I saw, and I think Rand Paul said something about, you know, all of a sudden, and now Cruz is on his second day of having to deal with this. And that's the effectiveness of what Trump does sometimes when he throws these little, they're almost more like IUDs, not really grenades, you know.
Right.
You know, they're just little firecrackers, little explosions, and it throws the opponent off. Some are better at handling it than others.
McCain's statement was quite amusing to me because I feel like it's pretty clear to anybody who's ever, you know, had a conversation with McCain or certainly paid any attention. He really, really dislikes Ted Cruz. This is the only reason he's weighing in on this, is because he really dislikes Ted Cruz.
100%. I mean, because he actually is in a similar, was in a similar boat as Ted Cruz. He wasn't born he wasn't born in the United States proper. You know, he was born on a base, a military base, to American citizens.
Right.
So there had been some question. And I remember if memory serves, I think Claire McCaskill sponsored a resolution in the Senate to say that, you know, the Senate believes he is a natural born citizen or something. At the time, it was a little a way to try to undermine the whole further stuff when it came to then candidate Obama. But you're absolutely right. This is about McCain. McCain weighed in simply because he can't stand him. Can't stand Cruz. I think he would prefer Trump over Cruz.
Is it an overstatement to say the majority of the Senate, and not just because of the Mitch McConnell moment, doesn't like Ted Cruz, and if they had to share a cab with him, would probably wait and, you know, fire up the Uber?
No, it's absolutely true, which every time it's brought up, you know, and I'll have folks say to me, oh, there's no way Cruz is going to be a nominee because everybody in the Senate hates him. And I'm thinking, and the more that's said, the more popular Ted Cruz
that's
is.
A great point.
With the party. I mean, it is a badge of honor for him with the base every time someone says Ted Cruz is the most unpopular guy in Washington.
Have you had an opportunity?
Exactly what they want to hear.
Have you had an opportunity over the past 2 years, 2.5 years, however long he's been, you know, the fly in the ointment, to ask him why a government that does nothing is better than a government that does something? Because his basic premise is shut it down.
Well, he would take issue with that. He would say that isn't what he's for. He would say no, he's for a limited government, and he's just fighting for those, and he just says Republicans don't negotiate very well. That would be how he would defend himself on this. He would take issue with perhaps your question on that front. But that's what I think makes, you know, it's interesting. A month ago, you talked to folks in the Clinton campaign. They'd say, oh, we'd love to run against Ted Cruz. The more they watch him as a candidate, they realize this is a very, very good candidate. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
He sticks to his message. He is disciplined. Look at how, he's very adroit at preventing himself from getting drawn into too many spats with Trump. This is really the first time that he's been distracted by a Trump thing. So this is, he is, Pat Buchanan has a term that he uses, political athlete. You know, Ted Cruz is a good political athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Every time I hear Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, for that matter, talk about how we need a commander-in-chief on day one who has the experience to make the right calls, what are you talking about? Experience? You're the kid at the 7-Eleven. Yeah, you just got there.
Well, and that's, I think, it's funny, though. I don't know if experience is going to matter that much, at least in the primary. And certainly if it's him versus Hillary, I don't think he wants to be talking of experience.
Right.
But at the same time, he's got to bring that up because, one of the knocks that Republicans have made on Barack Obama was, hey, do you have enough experience going in? And frankly, Cruz, you could argue, has less experience than Obama.
Look forward to seeing you in Iowa in a couple of weeks and grabbing you for a few minutes to sit in with the band. But in the meantime,
you're coming, huh?
Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah, we'll be there.
Good.
Who doesn't want to be in Iowa?
Answer too.
Yeah, well, I think we may be there as well. That's the plan. But there's nothing like Iowa and New Hampshire in February. Oh,
the ice slicks, the leaving your car in the ditch. I can't wait. I can't wait. Driving 80 miles an hour between events and wondering, what am I doing? I'm going to hit an ice, I'm going to hit an ice patch and the other side of the road. Yeah, I look forward to it every 4 years.
It's a great time. And again, Donald Trump, I assume the A block on Sunday morning?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, probably. I think we go A.
Yeah, I know. I think this is one of those occasions where the EP and I aren't going to have a disagreement about what the lead is.
You know what? Make them a little crazy. All right, Chuck. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You got it, Steve. Talk soon.
Chuck Todd at Chuck Todd on social media. Meet the Press Sunday mornings 9 a.m. on NBC5, and we're back with criminal Lourdes Duarte next on 720 WGN. 7:13. Rick Pearson, finest political reporter anywhere, here, there, everywhere. And at RAP30, RAP30, is standing by on the phone. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady coming up in just a moment as well, so we'll talk a lot of politics in this hour. Good morning, Rick Pearson.
Good morning, Steve.
How are things at the Chicago Tribune?
Very busy. We are certainly in 2016 election mode, that's for sure.
When Hillary Clinton ran in 2008, there's a famous picture of you in, I believe it was in Iowa, in a women's room with a bunch of other reporters next to you. Was it a women's room or a men's room?
Men's room.
Men's room, that's right, because there are urinals on the wall.
Yes, indeed.
And where was that?
Austin, Texas, in a men's athletic facility.
And you were set up in the bathroom because people were upset with you?
That's kind of the view we took, just heightening to the fact of not only setting us in front of the urinal, but that's also what they served us, our box lunches that day.
Isn't that sweet? Yes, kids, you want to cover politics and be a journalist, just know that there's no end to the fringe benefits.
Yeah, I kind of called it urinalism myself.
Yeah, look what you did there. Look what you did there. Thank you, Maria Menounos. All right, let's start with the city here. And one of the main stories that's out there this morning is actually about a cop in Texas in the Sandra Bland case. But the police here and shootings here and troubles here continue to percolate, and yet we don't hear much from the mayor. Is the mayor still in Cuba? Did he go back?
Now, the mayor is back, but frankly, he's standing very strongly behind the city's law department, which is the one that has been kind of in charge of negotiating settlements with families. Also, the fact that a top lawyer in the law department was found by a federal judge to have concealed exculpatory evidence that would have helped the defense in a case, and that lawyer has now resigned. But that's put a new kind of fire over City Hall. There was a question to the mayor about whether the Department of Justice should look into the city law department, and the mayor said no, he didn't think so. Now, you know, we went through that before when DOJ was being asked to take a look at the Chicago Police Department, and the mayor quickly backtracked on that. And now the kind of cleaned up statement out of City Hall is that the City Hall would be participate in any investigation that the Department of Justice has done. Nevertheless, it still shows kind of this kind of spiraling out of control that when you have a mayor who was supposed to be a noted control freak.
And the lack of control and the alleged cooperation, or maybe, you know, real cooperation that's going on with federal authorities and all the investigation that goes on, has this cooled the heat on him at all?
I don't think so. I think we kind of had thought that after the holidays, some of the protests would die down, and indeed, I think that has taken place. But still, it's a daily kind of criticism, including the governor, who has other motives as well. But Governor Rauner using very harsh words, accusing Rahm of being a failure and of being tone deaf when it comes to what's going on in the city of Chicago.
And, Rick, that gap between Rauner and Emanuel continues to widen, too, with Rauner saying Monday that, yeah, he'd sign the bill that would allow Chicago residents to recall Emanuel, although a bill like that's not likely to really be on his desk anytime soon or ever.
No, but it is showing that this, you know, these two they're friends, and, frankly, they're also business guys, and they understand the rough talk that's part of the nature of politics, but you know, the city decides the issues of police-involved shooting and violence. You also have this enormous financial liability that the city faces. And the city, of course, and I've been talking about this for weeks, about how the city is counting on Springfield to help deliver some cash relief, and the city can't even get its own budget act together. So I think there's a bit of a folly in that as well.
So is this dispute between Rahm and Rauner a necessity of an election year and the troubles that are going on, or is it real?
Well, I think, you know, as any kind of political opposition will do, you try and take advantage of somebody that's stumbling, and that's certainly what Rauner's doing. Rauner wants Rahm Emanuel's help to urge Speaker Madigan to support the governor's pro-business union-weakening agenda, something that the mayor says he's not willing to do. The mayor's saying that Bruce Rauner is holding hostage the public school kids in Chicago because he won't support moves to help Chicago and the $500 million cash relief it needs for the city's public schools. Sure, that's the governor taking a political opportunity here of Emanuel's weakness, but that having been said, it's not very likely that Emanuel is going to be moving to try to support those union weakening provisions, even though Emanuel and the Chicago Teachers Union, there's not a lot of love between those two.
Governor Rauner was on with me Monday. I asked him directly, point blank, are you here to break unions? Are you here to break unions up? Are you here to end unions in Illinois as we know it? What was the word he used, Kev? Was it poppycock?
Poppycock. That was it.
And he won an award because no one's ever used the word poppycock on the show before.
Although it probably hasn't been heard since 1928 on WGN.
He said 22 Skidoo or whatever that was as well. But the point being, I asked him directly. He answered directly on the record, so you have to choose whether to take him at his word or not. You can't have it both ways. So, and, of course, we invited Madigan on the show. Are we still getting crickets there? Kev, crickets? Or the crickets not even appearing now? Ah, crickets, yes. So Madigan won't show up for this show, but Madigan won't show up for the Four Tops meetings either, will he?
Well, there was a meeting that was scheduled before the holiday break. Madigan's people wouldn't say where he was. There was a birth of a grandchild that had occurred, and that's kind of where everybody believes he was.
Yeah, it occurred over several days.
Poppycock. Well, it was in California.
Oh, yeah, the planes coming back and forth from there just aren't that effective. It must have been one of those 12-day births you hear about.
Well, I'm not trying to defend Madigan, but the point being that, you know, among all the Four Tops and the governor, if this is such a calamity, why don't we meet until we get a deal? and no one seems to be taking any kind of feeling that the state is just spiraling downward as well. And that's very troubling. And now you compound it with the fact that, yeah, we've moved into an election year. The governor's supposed to be delivering next year's fiscal budget, even though we don't have one for the current fiscal year. And whatever remedy it's going to take to resolve the state's financial woes is going to require a tax increase. And I don't know how you do that, how anybody says it's easier this year when it's a full-blown legislative election year in Illinois.
Well, even if people don't like Rauner, I'm saying the people that don't like Rauner, even for that faction of the state, or that segment of the state, how do you explain Madigan's actions? How do you explain Madigan not showing up for meetings? How do you explain Madigan not sitting down and trying to resolve this?
Madigan, of course, a lot of power, doesn't believe that in the meetings that have been held so far that it's been anything but recitation of talking points on all sides and not talking about things that can actually be agreed upon.
But again, what's his solution? So his solution is don't show up. You know, the children that are involved in this little play that's destroying the state, you know, really need to be sent to their rooms. But I'm not sure Madigan would show up for that either.
Well, it is far past the point that all five of these people should be locked in a room and nothing until you've got a resolution to it. I mean, there is blame on both sides of this. The idea, though, that of the governor pushing his union weakening provisions, there are ways to negotiate on some of those things that would not be the end all of unions.
Right. And by the way, Rauner made that point on Monday as well. So, again, Madigan's got all the free rein he needs here to come in and answer tough questions, but he needs to show up. As I've said many times, we're more likely to get the Queen of England first. And this notion that Steve Brown always says, no, he's always available to the media. He does select group media interviews in a very rare sit-down. You, of course, got one of those recently on the Sunday morning show. But he almost never talks to anybody one-on-one. And there's nothing, until I hear differently, there's nothing in my mind that makes me think Mike Madigan cares about doing anything to fix his problem.
Well, and that's a very valid criticism when, you know, when you look at what progress, if any, we've made on this. And as I said, now that you move into a 2016 election cycle and you have, I wrote a story on this last Sunday about how Madigan has been amassing, raised more than $7 million in 2015 for the political funds that he controls. You know, you're looking at the backdrop of the governor and his allies with a war chest approaching $30 million to fund candidates. And then you throw in these very difficult decisions that would be raising taxes and cutting services. You tell me how that gets done in an election year before the election in November.
It's Rick Pearson. Read him in the Chicago Tribune online at chicagotribune.com. Sunday morning on The Spin. Who's on?
I've got Mike Zaleski. He's the sponsor of the legislation that would legalize fantasy sports. And that seems to be a very hot topic now, especially as we get closer to Super Bowl time.
And a big NFL playoff weekend coming up. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming back with Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady, and we'll talk about the other clown car, which is the race for the White House. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady are here. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Happy New Year.
Morning. Happy New Year.
And here's what I want to discuss when we come back from the news. If Bernie Sanders, he's the one on the left in all the Sesame Street. Is it Sesame Street or the Muppets where the guys are in the balcony?
It's the Muppet
Muppets.
Show. Yeah.
He's the one on the left in the balcony criticizing everything that's Bernie Sanders.
The Larry David guy? Yeah.
No. I'm talking about the Muppets.
Oh, the Muppet guy, yeah. The angry old guy. Yeah.
If he were to win in Iowa and win in New Hampshire, does that change anything? That's one question. The other question is, Pat, looks like you're going to keep your money in your pocket. Trump's here to stay.
No. He loses Iowa. He's done in Iowa. And he loses New Hampshire.
If he loses both of those, what does it mean for Trump?
So no Republican has ever won the nomination losing those two first.
It's a rough year for Republicans.
It is not a good year, but the upside is the Democrat presumptive nominee, her email server spent the holidays in the FBI evidence vault.
Oh, it did?
With the text.
Did it have a good time?
It had a good time. I'm sure they learned a lot about it.
Did it stay up till midnight?
Yeah, who knows? Getting poked and prodded.
Is it true that that Dolt car is the official car of the Republican presidential campaign?
At this point, Ryan Priebus is trying to grab one because he just wants to leave town. Before we do the news here, the big story, Andrea, the top 10 worst suburbs. People love lists. This is a list from Road Snacks, you know, the world-famous Road Snacks.
Of course, sure.
The top 10 worst suburbs from the bottom. Riverside, Elmwood Park, Brookfield, Westchester, Palos Hills, Oaklawn, Hickory Hills, Worth, Lyons, and Harwood Heights.
Oh, I was born in Oaklawn. I wouldn't put that on there.
This is based on crime, a lack of jobs or educational opportunities, lower incomes, high population density, and lower value homes. So again, if you want to be angry when you go to work this morning, be angry if you live in Riverside, Elmwood Park, Brookfield, Westchester, Palos Hills, Oaklawn, Hickory Hills, Worth, Lyons, or Harwood Heights. So deemed by the legendary Road Snacks as one of the worst suburbs.
Yeah, you noticed anything weird? All west and south. Is there not one northern suburb on there?
Oh, have you been to Lake Bluff?
Well met.
Let me say some Kenilworth. I don't even dare drive through Kenilworth.
It's the mean streets up there.
The mean streets of Kenilworth. If you slow down at a traffic light in Kenilworth, the kid will break into your car and refinance your house. I'm telling you right now.
I don't like that list.
One person that Hillary does not want to run against is Donald Trump. Believe me. And Bill doesn't want it either.
If the Republicans weren't worried, then why are hedge fund billionaires already running ads against me?
Oh, look, I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze Donald Trump. You know, my view, if others...
You think he sees you as a threat?
You know, you'd have to ask him.
.741, how many Republican candidates for president can you get into a tiny car? That's seems to be where we continue to head. The big topic, of course, is Donald Trump trying to oust pseudo-Canadian, what's his name? I almost call him Count Chocula. What's his actual name?
Ted Cruz.
Oh, Ted Cruz. Is he trying to oust Ted Cruz? I thought about this a lot yesterday, and then I thought, you know, I don't care. You know, really? I got a lot of things going on in my life. And we're still 3 weeks away from Iowa. But let me start with the Democrats. This Bernie Sanders kid, he's a comer. He's happening. Bernie's not giving up.
He's got a future, you think?
Bernie's not giving up. It amazes me, and with the experience you both have had, you know, hanging around with these bad people, politicians, I've never seen someone, at least that I can remember, who did really nothing of note in the Senate forever. In other words, had no national profile, explode like this. So for that, I think he deserves some credit, doesn't he?
Deserves a ton of credit, and he raised, I think, over $30 million in the fourth quarter of this year, primarily through grassroots online contributions. He deserves a ton of credit for the kind of campaign he's put together. But I think the challenge he has had and continues to have is, can he expand a vote base beyond a white, very liberal, very progressive base? And he is, to date, shown an inability, at least in polling, to really transcend to a broader coalition of Democratic primaries.
But I know you guys both have little faith in polls for the most part.
I do.
Having said that, I remember 2008, we were all pretty sure that Hillary was going to win Iowa, and Obama wins Iowa, and she, I think, won New Hampshire, but then the rest played out the way it played out.
But it was tight by now.
Yeah, it was a lot tighter.
My basic question, like before the break, if Bernie Sanders somehow pulls off Iowa and New Hampshire, what does that mean?
To me, I think it just delays the inevitable, and I think the inevitable is Hillary Clinton, but it will certainly cost the Clinton campaign more money, more hand-wringing. It will take longer. You know, there's an interesting fact. There's only one president in the modern era who's won having not won Iowa or New Hampshire, and that's Bill Clinton. So... I did not know that. Yeah, so you certainly could.
Remember, they declared New Hampshire second place as a win because of the Jennifer Flowers stuff.
Yeah, and then they got, they got out of Dodge.
The comeback kid, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Finish second. Right. See ya. So, look, it's certainly conceivable that she could lose Iowa and New Hampshire. I think New Hampshire, you know, Sanders has been ahead there the entire time. He's a senator from the neighboring state. I think that would make some sense. So, I don't think Iowa, unlike 2008, is as crucial for the Clinton campaign. But there's no question, if Sanders sweeps those two, I think it's just a longer nominating process.
All right, so flip it. Ted Cruz wins in Iowa, and anybody but Trump wins in New Hampshire. So Trump loses the first two. What's that mean for Trump?
Well, let's do a little background here. And since the president has taken office, the Republicans have picked up 900 seats in state legislatures,
right.
12 governorships, 70-some seats in the House of Representatives. We now have Republican Speaker of the House. Well, we have a majority in the Senate. It's made huge gains nationally as a Republican Party. If we nominate Ted Cruz or Donald Trump, a lot of that, including the House, is at risk. But to answer your question, if Trump loses Iowa and then loses New Hampshire, he'll probably start screaming that the party treated him unfairly and start talking third party, which just guarantees that Hillary Clinton will be the next president.
Right. There wouldn't even be a race at that point.
Well, I mean, when Clinton won in 92, Ross Perot got 18% of the vote. President Clinton never got over 50%. I think he won in 92 with 48 or something like that. So the third party would suck enough of the votes that Republicans need to win to Trump, and we'd definitely lose.
I mean, here's the fascinating thing is that the Republican nominating process in the modern era has followed a very consistent trajectory, which is that social conservatives rally eventually behind one candidate. They did it behind Santorum. They did it behind Huckabee. And then the sort of Republican establishment gets behind someone else who ends up being the nominee. It appears Cruz is the social conservative Tea Party guy that at the moment has the people coalescing around. But Trump is this sort of turd in the punch bowl on this strategy of coalescing behind institutional candidates. So,
I use a stronger word, but I agree with that.
Well, public airways and stuff like that. But my question is, and not with a partisan, more as an analyst, can you see anyone besides Cruz or Trump at the moment being the nominee?
Rubio.
You still think he could?
I still think he could, and I think that's the Democrats' worst nightmare. But it depends on a lot of things, and I agree. They used to divide this up into lanes, the social conservative lane, the establishment lane, the libertarian lane, which Rand Paul was supposed to own. Everybody's going to own their own lane. Well, Trump's driving across all the lanes. And a lot of the support, it's not just social conservatives. It's a lot of more moderates and a lot of angry Democrats, more southern. So I agree completely there. He's crossing all the lanes. But I think he's started to fade in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I think when people actually start voting, like I was on, talked to a bunch of people in Iowa yesterday. He has no organization on the ground in Iowa.
Right.
Ted Cruz got
Iowa. Well, he called the people of Iowa stupid.
Yeah, and Ted Cruz, they say he's got Iowa locked up. But if he gets second, if 30,000 of his people show up, and remember only 140,000 vote, that'll be a big night for him. He'll claim second and claim victory and go on to New Hampshire.
And we got to remember, too, the caucus process is not going and voting. You spend the entire evening.
It's 2 hours.
You sit around
now.
In groups.
Yeah. That's tough for Trump.
It's, yeah.
He doesn't have the attention span for that kind
of
thing.
No.
But his people traditionally are not caucus goers.
No. But here's what we don't know, right? This is, tell me if I'm right or wrong about this after we take care of traffic, but here's a question before the break. We don't know the real number of who's supporting Trump. And by that I mean, are they the really fed up with government folks who are unlikely to vote, who are really kind of boisterous now, who are willing to show up at rallies? And is that a limited number? Are they representative of a much larger group out there that could show up? I think that's the thing that makes the rest of Reince Priebus's hair fall out more.
Well, some of the early rallies were free beer rallies.
No, that's true.
It's a cliffhanger.
I would have gone to that one.
Yeah. 747. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady are here. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
And you have talked before about the fact that the Kasich people hired you to help them kind of, formulate certain things.
They did not hire me.
I thought
you did. Volunteer. No, I'm just a volunteer.
Oh, because you like Kasich.
I do.
Oh, I thought this makes it even more interesting then to me.
Yeah.
Do you continue to believe that Kasich is in some ways viable? Because I think Kasich may be the best grown-up in the room, but I don't see any way he gets traction in this noisy field.
Depends on what happens in New Hampshire. If he can get a breakout moment there, I think he's got a chance. But it's an uphill climb for him. It's been rough. There's just too many people on that lane that he's in. And Chris Christie's actually had a pretty good couple months in New Hampshire. I'd like to see it happen, but it's going to be uphill climb.
Eric Edelstein, your company is?
AL Media.
You do a lot of brand management with candidates. Is that fair?
We do a lot of electoral politics. I guess you could call it brand management, yes.
All right. So I know it's going to be tough for you, but work with me.
Sure.
I'm going to give you the entire Republican field. Mm-hmm. Who in the entire Republican field is the most brand manageable? In other words, you could take them, and if they're willing to listen, you could craft a message that would work for America. Because once you get past the primary, in the general, you've got to appeal to a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily buy your nonsense.
I think Rubio and Christie have the most potential to be appealing to independent and lefter-leaning voters than the rest of that field. I think Trump and Cruz are virtually unelectable in an American national election. But I do think Rubio and Christie, to some extent, do have some crossover appeal. And are very smart politicians. Whether they can emerge from this chaos, this Republican primary field, I think is looking less and less likely every day.
Let's take Trump off the table for a second and assume that Hillary's the nominee. Who does she not want to face the most?
I mean, again, I don't speak for that campaign. I'm only speculating. I think Rubio, because of the generational, the geographic, the sort of racial diversity that he brings to the field, I think he presents a whole host of problems a lot of the other nominees would not.
And, Pat, let me hit you with this. If it's Rubio versus Hillary, and foreign policy and our security is front and center, she certainly had a lot of experience.
Experience doesn't necessarily equate with good experience. And I think there's a pretty good argument you could make that the last 7 years in national security and foreign policy under this administration, which she owns, is going to be a subject that's going to favor the Republicans.
So what do you do, Pat? Let me take this, or I should say, Eric, let me take this back to you. If you're Hillary Clinton's campaign, let's say you can go without talking about the email for a few minutes and the other things and whether or not your husband slept around. Well, we know, don't we? And, you know, whether or not we're going to be judging that part of his life to begin with. How, if you're Hillary Clinton, do you explain the fact that you were Secretary of State during the era, even if you want to pin a lot of it on George Bush, that this thing called ISIS blew up the way it did? How do you explain it?
Well, I think it's obviously an incredibly complex story. There's a lot to go around. I don't think you blame Hillary Clinton for the rise of ISIS. I think that's a bit far-fetched. I think what you do say is we're in a war on global terrorism, and who do you want in that big chair but somebody who's been in those tough rooms, who sat there when they gave the order to go get Osama bin Laden, who's been part of the national security apparatus of this country, versus one-term guys, U.S. senators who had even less experience than Barack Obama did going into this era. So I think if the terrain is national security in a weird way, why you would typically say it favors Republicans, I think with Hillary Clinton as the nominee, it's playing on her turf.
I think, though, if you really go point by point, region by region, there's nothing in the foreign policy of this administration or national security from the United States point of view that is better than it was when he took office. So I think it's a real weak spot for her.
So he's got to run at it. He can't hide Rubio, I'm talking about.
He has to. And you can make it, the Democrats, I think, are going to have a little trouble making the argument on experience when their candidate last time ran with virtually the same experience for President Obama.
But the same is true the other way. Republicans have a tough time defending Marco Rubio or Cruz, so, saying, oh, it doesn't matter, when they ran for 8 years against how Barack Obama has no experience. So.
Well, I think that what Rubio has done is shown himself to do is be very good and very strong, very articulate, very forceful on these issues. And I think he's probably the most articulate of all our candidates on this and the most credible. I agree. That's an argument I would make, too, if I were the Democrats. But he comports himself pretty well.
Who did the commercial of the phone rings at 3 o'clock? Who do you want to answer? Was that McCain?
No, it was Hillary Clinton.
It was Hillary.
So Hillary against Obama in Ohio and Texas.
Save a little cash. Break it out again. Just change the voiceover.
Right. No, look, it was effective. Look, this is, we're now at the point, as you said, Steve, 3 weeks from Iowa, where all the experts, all the faulty polling, maybe it's some of it's accurate. You know, this is the fun part, because the voters get their say. And I don't mean to sound cliched, but as I say this many times, a funny thing happens when the voters get involved. And I think we all start to get surprised and weird things start to happen. And I think this is going to be maybe the most fascinating nominating process, particularly on the Republican side, that we've seen in our lifetimes.
Or painful, but yes, fascinating.
All right, I know you guys both hate endorsements almost as much as you do polls. But endorsement-wise, it appears at least right now that South Carolina is going to be a big deal. It wasn't that big a deal last time. I think Newt won, if memory serves, and then Newt declared himself the winner overall. He didn't want to do any
more. And then got creamed the next week.
Yeah. Right. But South Carolina is going to be a big deal. Would a Trey Gowdy or a Lindsey Graham, arm around you in a photo op and get in mind, would that mean something to any of the Republicans?
Not in Iowa. Maybe McCain's arm around you in New Hampshire.
Well, how about in South Carolina?
In South Carolina? Probably Lindsey Graham. He won pretty well. I would think that would be helpful. Nikki Haley, who's given the she's going to respond to the State of the Union, I believe, give the Republican response. Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe Eric has a different view. These endorsements, to me, sometimes are kind of overrated.
Neither one of you guys like endorsements,
yeah,
right?
I don't think it means much. Look,
I mean, I always take them, but
I think the key moment is going to be after that March 1st SEC primary day, where, you know, today conventional wisdom says Ted Cruz may have the most delegates at that point. What happens then, and who becomes the alternative? Is it Trump? Is it Rubio? Has Christie emerged from New Hampshire? And, you know, I think there's a possibility. Some have written, if you just look statistically at how many delegates are going to be pledged, by mid-March, you could pretty well be clear on who the Republican nominee is, if the past is prelude. Now, whether it is or not, we'll see.
In mid-March is Illinois. Like last time, Illinois could be front and center.
Yeah, it actually matters.
Yeah, it mattered last time for Mitt Romney. He sealed it in Illinois.
Here's the other name you mentioned, I think, is interesting, too. It's going forward, but if you pay attention to this stuff, to politics, pay attention to Nikki Haley.
Nikki, great.
Nikki Haley stood up to the Confederate flag and I think is a real voice of moderate Republicans going forward.
I agree. We have a great bunch of young, forward-looking people. I think Rubio is one of them. And I think this time it's been totally flipped. The Republicans are going to be the younger crowd, and the Democrats are going to be the look-back crowd, which I like that position if we can get through this primary.
All right, last question for both of you. Just jump on this quick, if you would. Chris Christie has been, at least by all approval numbers, a disaster as the governor of New Jersey. He seems to have redeveloped some national love. He's a very charismatic guy. He's a guy that maybe you don't want to get caught in an elevator with, but he's a guy that does command attention. Is Hillary afraid of Chris Christie if he gets some traction and gets going? And by the way, I don't mean he falls downhill and she's in front of him. They're not on a ski slope. I mean, is Chris Christie a viable threat to Hillary?
I think if you were to be the nominee, he would be a much stronger candidate than Cruz or Trump.
I think maybe Rubio, too. I think maybe everybody in the field, because he could actually at least say, look, don't listen to the people of Jersey. They're loud. Yeah. But I have actually sat in an executive chair. I have run the state. Yeah.
You know, he's gone all in New Hampshire. We'll see if that pays off for him.
I tell you, if you look at Rubio's opening when he announced he was running, that to me, and I recognize there are issues with him as a candidate, was the most compelling reason to elect him. Just a generational change, generational look forward. It was very, very compelling.
Nice to see both of you. And again, Pat, where is your company, or what is your company?
Next Generation Strategies.
Search it and search Pat Brady all over social media. Eric Adelstein, you're still employed?
I am. AL Media.
AL Media. And if you are running for president and you don't have anybody yet crafting your brand, call one of these guys. Nice to see you.
Thanks. See you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:12 in the morning. Dean is, as was pointed out earlier. Kev, tell me again what the message was.
I'm sorry. Say that one more.
Dean?
Oh, Dean just said he's traveling Wednesday through Friday.
Traveling for the next 3 days. And my point earlier was he must have been taking a stagecoach like an old settler, because otherwise why couldn't he at least call in?
If his car has a bumper sticker from Wall Drug, South Dakota,
right,
then we know.
And what's the place like if you go, if you take I-95?
South of the border.
South of the border.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You take I-95, it starts about in southern Virginia.
Yes.
And then every mile it says, you're only 500 miles till south of the border. And it just goes on and on and on.
And then when you pass it, you got the signs telling you you missed it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And what's their big hook? The pecan log, right? The salted pecan log or something?
Those Stuckies.
Oh, is that Stuckey's?
Oh, that is Stuckey's.
Oh,
I'm
blending it.
Wall Drug has the 5-cent cup of coffee.
Still?
They have ice water.
Oh, yeah, ice water.
Ice water.
Free That's
ice
one of the hooks?
Free ice water.
Yeah, free ice water.
Wow. So Dean is out touring America, and luckily Andrea is here to take care of your show business needs. So where do you want to start?
Yes. Why don't we start with the People's Choice Awards last night?
Jane Lynch, right?
Our good friend, Jane Lynch hosting the show, killing it.
Killing it meaning, Jane Lynch hosting the show, killing it meaning no one was injured. She did a great job hosting the show.
She did a Shut Up and Dance. She's hilarious. You know, Jane Lynch is the total picture. She could be funny. She could sing. She hosts that Hollywood Game Night, and she has a new sitcom out, Angel in Waiting.
When is that on?
I think it's on Thursdays. Thursdays at 7 o'clock, I think.
They sent us cupcakes yesterday to promote it.
Yeah,
how are you tonight? I didn't eat them. Steve, new year, new me.
Oh,
but that's not fast food.
You can have a cupcake.
Yeah, but it's still not good for you.
Well, that's good.
Very good, yeah. Day four, we're all sticking our diets.
Kevin ran 3 miles yesterday, too.
I did.
Nice job.
I'm sore now.
He's awesome.
Yeah, you ran 3 miles?
I ran 3 miles.
Like without stopping, or did you do it in seconds?
No. I did like 3.25 total, and then I probably walked, I don't know, a half a mile. So I probably ran like...
Wait, you were on a treadmill.
I was on a treadmill, yeah.
That's good.
That's very good. That's great. Yeah,
2 days in a row, I'm going for number 3 today.
Hey,
three
Kevin.
In a row. I'm sore, Steve.
You feel like a new woman?
I do. She's slim and fit.
Nice. Item number 2.
Some of the gossip from the People's Choice Awards.
Oh, you got some backstage?
This is always kind of a blah show. You know who's going to win ahead of time.
I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah.
Remember what a big deal this was?
This used to be huge.
Now the Golden Globes is big.
The Golden Globes, yeah, that's my favorite. So this is kind of the prelude to it.
Friggin' Gervais.
I know, I'm not a fan of his at all. But here's kind of the back scoop of the People's Choice Award. Big Bang Theory's Kaley Cuoco and Johnny Galecki showed up together, sat by each other, got very close, very flirty, holding hands. There's close-ups of their legs kind of intertwined. This is on...
they were together for a while, right?
They were together, and then she married Sweeting, the tennis player. She was Kaley Cuoco Sweeting for a while.
Yeah, I don't know that guy.
And they just got a divorce, and now she's back to Kaley Cuoco. But they did date briefly, and it was funny because they were complete opposites. And I remember when they broke up, she said, yeah, opposites don't always attract. As he was a chain smoker. He's from the Chicago area, too, and she was very kind of a neat freak. And
I didn't realize... Johnny Galecki's apparently been in show business forever.
Oh, yeah, remember he was on Roseanne?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was Darlene's boyfriend on Roseanne years ago. Okay. Yeah, he's a good actor. Just stories I've heard, probably not the friendliest, doesn't like to be approached and take pictures with people. But she was tweeting this morning, hashtag not dating, despite all of their cuddles.
Huh.
And there was a wardrobe malfunction.
It's always great when you see exes. what's the word?
Rekindling?
What's the word that shows up in the Sun Times all the time? Canoodling?
Canoodling.
Oh, yeah.
And Dakota Johnson went up to accept her award. She, strangely, for 50 Shades of Grey, she was voted favorite dramatic movie actress.
All right, now who saw 50 Shades of Grey?
I did.
You both did.
Yeah, and I saw it.
All right, now, but you
not
guys...
Together, not remember, together.
But am I remembering this right? You disagree on the movie, right?
I thought it was terrible.
And you thought it was okay.
No, actually, I only saw about 2 minutes of it on TV
recently. He stopped
recently.
With the sex scenes?
The important parts?
He fast-forwarded to the bondage scenes.
He had a last-minute subscription to Mr. Skin.
That was it. No, my wife saw it and thought it was not great.
Okay. Yeah, it was just such a weak movie. And now
but isn't the rap on her? She's a bad actress?
Well, she is. They're making a sequel to it, too. She's Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith's daughter, and that's not to say that she's not doesn't have acting chops, but I guess the buzz was that she didn't have to audition for the film, but not as strong as her leading man.
What's the sequel? 51 Shades? We forgot a shade?
50, like 50 or Shades of Grey?
Oh, whatever.
50 Shades of Grayer. But when she went on stage to get her award for Favorite Dramatic Movie Actress, she got a big hug from Blake Lively, Jennifer Lopez, and Rachel McAdams. Apparently got a hug from Leslie Mann, who broke her dress. Leslie Mann went to give her a hug, and something clipped.
She got Apatow's wife.
And yeah, very beautiful. And yeah. She's great, too. But she went to give her a hug, and whatever she was wearing, the bracelet clipped off on the back of her zipper and unzipped the back of her dress. Hey, you know what? It's the People's Choice Awards. I'm doing a stretch here.
When you get into award season, isn't the best business to be in be boob tape?
I would think so.
I would think,
ask J-Lo.
I would think if you were an owner of, like, the number one boob tape company, this is your Christmas. This is your time of year.
Boob tape is just double-sided tape, though.
It doesn't really have a name.
There's no special boob tape brand?
It's just called double-sided tape or, you know, wardrobe tape.
We have double-sided tape up in the sports office. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, we have double-sided tape on the engineering office, and I don't think the engineers are going to be let near any of the boobs. Pretty sure that's the case.
Any of the female boobs, anyway.
I got to tell you, the Cochrane Breast Institute, the CBI, in the Alps, we are trying to perfect boob tape, a specific type of boob tape that would be skin-friendly and much friendlier to the woman that has to use it.
How do you perfect that? Just keep taping?
I don't know, but I know the guys that I hired to do the project are just really happy.
You don't even have to pay them, do you?
No.
Just volunteer.
No. Yeah, just raise your hand. All right, hold on. Come back with more.
A couple more, yep.
Dean Richards and his family are making their way west to settle fighting off Native Americans in Buffalo. Dean's unavailable as he travels for 3 days. The entertainment show business Hoo-Ha, sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center.
Yes.
More now from your Hoo-Ha.
Not my Hoo-Ha.
No.
No.
Well, I just thought I'd name the segment.
Well, speaking of Hoo-Ha, Janet Jackson, that's very funny, by the way. She doesn't have cancer.
I didn't know this was a rumor.
It was one of those internet rumors, unfortunately, that, you know, kind of hits different celebrities all over the place, either whether they're dead or sick. But it started Christmas Day. These tweets about Janet Jackson having cancer, fueled also by the fact that when she started some of her, she performed here at the Chicago Theater for 3 nights last year, but the shows right before that had to be canceled. So she tweeted yesterday that she does not have cancer, but her Unbreakable World Tour is going to be put on hold until the spring. She says...
on stage in March.
Yeah, she said she did need an operation, but it's not cancer.
Okay.
Pray for her and her family, and she says, gonna be all right. That's G-O-N-B.
Gonna be all right.
Yeah.
That's G-O-N- a new song.
Gonna be all right.
Gonna be all right.
Let's see. Do you want Alyssa Milano's breastfeeding war, Adele working out in the gym, or...
Alyssa Milano for the block.
All right. Alyssa Milano, she's very public about tweeting and Instagramming photos of herself breastfeeding her children.
Why?
She did this with her first child. She just is a big proponent of breastfeeding in public.
But why do we have to see pictures of it?
Maybe because she wants to keep her name in the news.
But I think
she wants to keep her name out there.
Should be between her and her baby.
Well, that's what a lot of people think. Wendy Williams just really, really went after her yesterday, saying, I don't need to see that. Just a very public outcry saying this is ridiculous.
Well, I'm not offended by it.
So,
in the same way, I'm not offended if I see a woman breastfeeding in public. If your kid needs to eat, he needs to eat.
Right, but
and
maybe,
we should be decent enough to allow people to do that and not make a spectacle of it. But by the same token, you don't need to be putting pictures on the internet.
Right. So Instagramming and tweeting all these. That's what Wendy Williams said. And Milano then fought back and she said, well, then why is it okay to show a picture of Miley Cyrus in a scantily clad outfit but not of a woman nursing? So that feud continues.
You know, I go back to what the great philosopher Rocky Laporte said New Year's Eve. So I'm on a plane with this woman next to me who's breastfeeding, and it was weird because I don't even know if she knew the guy.
That was hilarious.
That's great. All right, Adele, speaking of Instagram and tweeting, Adele, this is why we love Adele, because she put a picture of herself on. She started a new workout plan. She's working out of the gym, and she's just grimacing and just not looking happy at all.
She's a real person that would rather eat a pizza.
Right. She says her gym struggle is very real, and this is kind of the big meme of the day, the picture of her in the gym. She looks great, by the way. She looks really good.
Yeah, but then she doesn't want to work out.
Maybe just, there's Kevin's workout partner.
Just like most of us.
Well, you know what? It's like the great philosopher Rocky Laporte said New Year's Eve. You ever go into a gym, look around, and just start crying?
All right, and that's a perfect segue and a perfect way to end, Dave, because Kevin is on this new not eating junk food kick and trying to get healthy. So I found the perfect diet for you, Kevin. This is really taking Hollywood by storm, and I'm not making this up.
It?
It's called the Taco Cleanse. It's a new book that explains how nonstop taco consumption can help you achieve your health goals, and this is by self-proclaimed taco scientists, and they're touting the benefits of eating tacos to feel better.
Did you write this, dude?
So does this mean I can eat Taco Bell?
Hold on a second. Did you write this?
No, but I don't know.
This book?
No, but I don't know why I wasn't consulted on it.
You should have been an expert.
Yes.
The two biggest points, it involves eating tacos all day, and then you have to do a significant amount of taco yoga. I'm not making this up. There's the upward-facing taco to tostada pose that seems to be one of the celebrities' favorites right now.
I got to tell you, the taco cleanse is not exactly a new idea.
I tried it. Doesn't plenty work. Of tacos that cleanse me.
There's an avocado pit pose, and there's little stick figure pictures of all this. Look at this, Steve. The soft tortilla pose, and of course, we can't forget the hard shell pose.
Yeah, check it out. Check it out. Kevin, they owe you money.
Yeah, I should have been cited in this.
It's unbelievable.
What is it?
Disrespectful.
Taco scientist?
It's just called the Taco Cleanse.
But it's put together by renowned taco scientists.
Renowned taco scientists. Yes.
I mean, some of the best in the field.
Tacos.
Yeah. So thank you for all of that.
You bet. That's the showbiz news.
Yeah, and thank you for taking over for Dean, who right now is under attack by some people from a Mel Brooks movie.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
I want to say hi to Chrissy Floyar, Senior Sales and Marketing Coordinator at Hassett Express. And Chrissy sent us a bunch of pens, right? Wasn't Chrissy one of the pen distributors?
Yeah, and they gave us those little toy trucks.
Yeah.
We got some of those.
So we got toy trucks in the office.
Having a lot of fun with us.
A couple days ago in the office, Kevin and I were having toy truck demolition derby.
It was awesome.
We'd crash into each other.
Is that what that noise was?
Yeah, totally.
That's fun.
Staying busy as usual.
We will get to the Hawks Express in just a second. First off, to put a cap on the New Year's Eve, well, two things. One, a personal thanks to the staff and everybody involved with Drs. Moen and Dr. Flannery and everybody at Edwards Hospital, and you know why I said that. All right, now, New Year's Eve, Chi-Town Rising.
Right.
The one thing that came out of that was I think people were pleasantly surprised at how cool it turned out.
Yes.
But the other thing that came out of it is everybody from Chicago, and this is my adopted hometown, everybody from Chicago went, we don't call it Chi-Town.
Nobody calls it Chi-Town. Born and raised here, and I have never called it Chi-Town.
Have you, Dave, ever called it this, your adopted hometown as well?
No, I do not call it Chi-Town.
Nobody calls it
Chi-Town. No, no.
So the Trib has a story, and I think DNA Info must have been involved in this as well. But there were about 100,000 people that came out to celebrate, and that seems like a realistic number. And they actually did some research on where Chi-Town comes from and how often is it said. Kris Kristofferson in the movie Convoy in 1978 said Chi-Town.
I remember that movie.
C.W. McCall in the song says Chi-Town.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need something a little hipper than 1978. Apparently Kanye West used it in a couple of lyrics from songs. And if you go to a website called Rap Genius.
Yeah.
It's like a Google for rap lyrics.
You know what? I could see
it. Chi-Town shows up occasionally because it works rhythmically.
Right. Well, like Chi-Town Sounds, I know, is a production company. That I think that's different when it's music or when it's rap related.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a slang. But just, you know, I wouldn't say to you, hey, come visit me in Chi-Town.
Well, there are things that identify you as an outsider.
Yeah.
You know, how many of you walk around calling it the Windy City?
Oh, God. Nobody.
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 Nobody says Chi-Town.
And there's a lot of people who take exception with Chicagoland, too.
Yeah, Chicagoland's like a marketing thing. Yeah,
right.
Commercial
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the people that put this whole thing together are Arena Partners. And John Murray is the president of Arena Partners, told the Tribune, said the aim of the name choice was to be hip, useful, and authentic, adding that it tested well with millennials, and is widely used in products and advertising for companies like Nike, Harley-Davidson, and McDonald's. Mr. Murray also said, people use it who live in Chicago in the neighborhoods, people in music and the arts. And for people to say no one uses Chi-Town, they live in the upscale suburbs outside of Chicago.
Oh, there you go. See?
No, John.
Okay, I grew up on the south side,
and
then I
moved
to the south suburbs. I have lived in the city of Chicago for 18 years.
And do you say Chi-Town?
I've never said Chi-Town.
Kevin, you're a millennial. Do any of your millennial friends say Chi-Town?
Absolutely not.
See.
And who is our associate producer today?
Haley.
The delightful Haley is a millennial?
Haley, do you say Chi-Town?
Chi-Town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she said yeah.
Where does Haley live?
Where's
Haley born?
Live, Haley?
Geneva.
Geneva?
Oh, yeah. She's in one of those upscale suburbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, is she from here, Kev? Ask her.
You grew up here, right?
Geneva, yeah.
Yeah, she grew up in Geneva.
Suburbs,
so
yeah.
She's a snooty suburbanite.
She's a snooty suburbanite?
It doesn't really count.
I don't count. Yeah. Listen to her. How sweet.
See, suburbanites usually just say going downtown.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Downtown. Just everything's downtown.
I use a little used term that maybe you guys aren't familiar with. Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, that too.
And it's how you pronounce it, too. I mean, the pronunciation's all over the board, but you can always tell someone who's not from here or who hasn't lived here a very long time pronounce it. They say, like, Chicago, and it's just wrong. It's just Chicago.
Well, yeah, but we in the media always had it drummed in our heads to overemphasize
the
fake W after the A, Chicago.
Chicago.
It's like saying W.
Right.
I mean, you can tell somebody hasn't been on the radio if they say W.
Right.
Because it's double U. Dave, do you say Chi-Town?
I do not.
Mary, do you say Chi-Town?
Nope.
No. No.
Now, see?
So I don't know why John Murray doesn't like us, but he's profiling us.
You know, the concept was cool, though, to have something like Times Square does, but not with the ball.
Oh, I think it's cool, and I think it's got a tremendous amount of potential.
Yeah, great concept. Love the fact
it's a dumb name.
That the band Chicago performed, but, you know, just didn't like the name or the fact that Mario Lopez. And, again, I have nothing against Mario Lopez. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. But just like you said, We have so many great names in town.
There's phenomenal talent in town. They could host that thing every night. Now, Mark Giangreco can't because he's going to go to jail. And Giangreco will be on next hour, about an hour from now, to explain himself on what he did on New Year's Eve. But, yeah, I like Mario. I know Mario Lopez. I like him. And but, yeah, we don't need Mario Lopez to come in town to host an event in Chicago.
Right.
It's just dumb. But having said all of that, it looked like a cool event. And for I've talked to people who were there, said it was great live. And it was cold.
And the fireworks over the river were great. Yeah. I could see them from my apartment. They were great.
Yeah. So, good event, bad name. That's our summation. Traffic and then the Hawks Express. A victory last night, in case you went to bed early. And our Temi Panarin getting it done again. And by the way, for those of you who like me, kicked on Rivalry Night on MSN NBC Sports Network and did not hear Doc Emmerich and went, what? Doc wasn't feeling well. I don't think Doc ever misses a game. So we're hoping he's feeling better today. I've not bothered him. I can text him later and see how he's doing. But
he went to the doc?
Doc went to the doc.
Mm-hmm.
Do doctors go to doctors? Well, they must, of course.
Sure, of course they do.
But Doc essentially called in sick. And Kenny Albert did the game with Eddie. So we're hoping he's feeling better, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Thinking of Doc going to another doc.
But it's like Dave Emmett. You know, sure, you could be a Northwestern football or basketball fan.
Go Cats, go Cats.
But you turn the game on.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to get entertained because Emmett's doing the game.
That's right.
I turn on Wednesday Night Rivalry on a school night because I want to hear which verbs Doc's going to throw out next. Yeah. Puck skeetering down the ice. Anyway, Doc, we hope you're feeling better. And this Hawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. What are we doing now?
Want to take a break?
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and recap fantasy football, because I believe the Wang Dang Doodle season's about to draw to a close, at least prior to me reinventing it for the playoffs. Kev, remind me to reinvent it for the playoffs.
Steve, I'll remind you to reinvent it.
Sometime between now and tomorrow.
Steve Cochran with Wang Dang.
Well, we decided at the beginning of the year we'd go with a brand new format for the Wang Dang Doodle. What we didn't understand or contemplate at the time was how well the listeners would do. The format was such that if the listeners won, it was a make it, take it kind of thing. The listeners got to keep their names in the game as long as they won. We had a long run at the beginning of the season, kind of a short run in the middle, and then a longer run at the end. Am I right about this? We only had three listeners all year?
Yeah. Yeah, they made quite an impact on the league. Nice season for them.
So the Wang Dang Doodle was such that we used the fantasy football aggregators to go ahead and keep score for us. And in the process, it made life a lot easier. However, and I'm saying this out loud for the first time, I'm not sure it was fun.
Oh.
I'm just not sure it was fun.
Well, you know what, though, I will say? We learned a lot. I think Mary and I both learned a lot about fantasy football.
Well, but here was my problem.
Trading players.
Here was the reason I did it this way, or agreed to do it this way. Because nothing drives me more crazy than, to use an example, the first 10 minutes of The View. When people are just screaming at each other, you know, yelling at each other, makes me nuts. So we decided to go with the fantasy football Wang Dang Doodle in a way that would be more streamlined and more on-air efficient. I think we overachieved.
Mm-hmm.
I think we overachieved to the point where we didn't have much interaction at all on the air. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it was less fun for the listeners. Because
right.
I think the listeners like to hear you two fighting like children.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah.
Which two?
Yeah.
You and Andre.
Who two?
Yeah. No, me and Dave.
I think the listeners like to hear incessant questioning by Mary on everything related to any detail.
I think
well,
so,
I
too.
I still don't get that.
Uh-huh, yeah. I think the listeners like to hear Kevin's frustration
with
when
everybody.
He tries to explain the work that he's doing that he's already explained three times in a meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
He's sick of us.
I think all of that's true.
I think it is, too.
So I think we need something in between. Something in between here and there,
mm-hmm.
that's a little more...
middle fun. of the road with Dave being less wise.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm quickly brainstorming here on what we can do. Maybe we don't do fantasy. Maybe we just do pick like a pick'em type thing.
How about that?
Yeah, like a survivor pool.
Well, we could try that in the March Madness.
No, we're doing football.
Football's over.
Tomorrow on this show we will debut part two of the all new Wang Dang Doodle.
Yes, you're going, and it's so far. You're going so far down, you're not even going to see the ground when you're done.
Let's find out who won.
A little over the top. Yeah, but you notice right there, what did we have? We had the fighting. Dave going, "Mom, Dad, help me," and Mary in the background going, "Questions. I have questions." That's what the people want.
Okay. We just want to give the people what they want.
So wait, well, who won? I mean, are we going
to,
like...
Let's go to the standings. Yeah. Kevin, what do we have for the Wang Dang Doodle as we knew it?
All righty. So we had our regular season finish, which we had reviewed. Now, I'll save the championship game for last, but the four teams that made the playoffs were Dave, End It to Win It, Andrea's Army, Ill-Tempered Seabass, that was the listener's name, and Hail Mary. So those were the four teams in the semifinals. Andrea's Army knocked off Ennett to win it 99-96 to advance to the finals.
Wait, what?
Okay, so the championship.
We missed all this.
The championship game was the brother sister combination.
Negative.
What the heck was that? Negative. The Copacabana?
As I said, the semifinal.
Oh, that was
game.
A semifinal.
Yeah.
The other semifinal.
Well,
game.
You don't get to be frustrated with me.
Oh, no, I'm not
you
frustrated.
You have to channel your frustration with everybody
else.
I was
giving Andrea the negative because she started dancing.
I got it.
Oh. Doing the conga.
Yeah.
That was your victory dance last year.
Hold tight, Andrea. Hold tight.
Sorry, okay. Kev.
Other semifinal game. Ill-Tempered Seabass.
That's the listeners.
Topped Hail Marys 127-96.
Wow, Mary, you got blown out.
In the third place game. And it to win it beat Hail Mary's 105-99. So Dave finished in third. Now in the championship game, Ill-Tempered Seabass 92, Andrea 84.
So the listeners won.
The listeners won,
which is great.
The listeners won. Congratulations, the listeners. That's how that kind of worked out.
Yeah, that was great.
It was a total accident, but it worked out
for them. Yeah, that's the way it should be.
The listeners were on top.
Are you mailing them that crappy trophy then?
Yeah, the broken trophy.
I'm regluing it. It's
I don't want you to re-glue it.
Beautiful trophy.
I don't want you to re-glue it. We're going to send them the broken trophy.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, cool. That'll be great.
Dave, congratulations.
Thank you.
Why, Dave?
What, the broken, they get the broken trophy?
Congratulations, because he's getting rid of the broken trophy.
Oh, well,
it's in Andrea's drawer.
Andrea, congratulations on your second place win.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Very excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Dave.
And tune in tomorrow. Sorry, I'm choking to death.
You okay?
But tune in tomorrow when the Wang Dang Doodle Part 2 debuts.
Yes.
I'm going to write this down so I
can. Do research for this debut?
Always remember.
Is that
first? Your last.
It's kind of hard to do research on something I haven't invented yet, but I will come up with a format and a meaning to all of this later today.
Okie dokie.
I was planning on doing something better with my afternoon, but now that's over.
What if we actually do, just a suggestion, actually pick against the line and the over-under?
Yeah, that won't cause Mary's head to explode at all.
What does that mean?
It's a minute before 9. We're back with the news next on 7:12. Oh, by the way, Grisanich, you're in on this for the playoffs.
I know nothing about sports.
Yeah, well, we'll find out how little you know next on 7:20 WGN. It's 9:00. It's news time now as we wrap up the Wintrust Community Banks Hour. Coach Q will be in the 8:00 hour tomorrow. Is that right?
Yep, 8:40 tomorrow. We also have Hawks tickets tomorrow at 7:20.
Oh, you're going to want to win those. All right, it's 9:13 now. Steve Cochran Show number 560 continues. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. By the way, I salute Allstate, their marketing department, and the people that make decisions on advertising over there for recognizing all families and the different types of families that exist and the different types of marriages that exist. And for those people who put heat on Allstate for this, it's a representation of their views, not yours. So, Allstate, good for you for recognizing that the love comes in different shades. It's 9:13 in the morning. I like the fact that the boss has to go to work and do some heavy lifting for the company. And David Prokopek is the CEO of Jackson Hewitt. And, David, I just heard that you've agreed to do my taxes. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, we'll do them anytime you want to.
Now, when you say we, I want you to do them, David.
I'm glad to do them as well.
Welcome to the program. And this is the beginning of the crush that goes right through the 15th, right?
Yeah, it is already off to a furious start. And, you know, people, your listeners, their tax refund for many of them is their biggest paycheck of the year. So people are really getting focused on it.
The goal, though, and it's impossible to figure out with our ridiculous tax code, which is why you need professionals like Jackson Hewitt. The goal, though, would be a zero-sum game. Because when you get a refund, you've lent money to the government interest-free for the last year.
Yep. Sometimes people like you and I think about it that way. And a lot of people in America, though, also view it as a, you know, a forced savings plan for them. And so, you know, almost 90% of Americans get a refund. And, you know, we invite them in, as you said, to help find all the deductions and credits they can't figure out on their own to make sure it's, you know, the most that they can get.
All right, let's talk about the Affordable Care Act for a second. This, from a tax perspective, good thing, bad thing, or to be determined?
Well, from a, you know, it's the law of the land, so we all need health insurance. And so there's about, I don't know, 10, 11% still uninsured. So I, personally, I think health care is good for Americans. But it's run by the tax code, and consumers are confused, and probably the biggest thing your listeners need to know is the penalties are going to double this year if you don't have health insurance. And so that is, that's not good for the average citizen right now, and so we're trying to help people sort that out.
And in doing that, I know that the Affordable Care Act, the institution of the same, caused the IRS to add a tremendous amount of people staff-wise. Do you guys have to staff up more because this has added an extra layer of taxation analysis?
Yeah, we do. Our tax experts and healthcare experts, you have to train. All, we've got 25,000 tax pros out there, so they need to be trained in it, and so that we can help people when they come in and figure it out. So it's you know, it's been a burden on all of us, actually.
So we get through that with the help of professionals, and then we have an Illinois issue, which, Andre, you were telling me about this earlier.
Yeah.
You could go to Jackson Hewitt today. Mm-hmm. We could have the Jackson Hewitt folks get together your taxes, you know, however long, next couple of days, whatever. And a refund coming back from the state, but you're not going to get it, right?
Not till March 1st. You can finish today, like you just said, Stephen. You will not get that refund until after the 1st of March.
Are you seeing that around the country at all, David?
No, this is, you know, Illinois obviously got some tougher finances than some of the other states. So, you know, the good news is you can still get your federal refund, you know, immediately when the IRS is going to open up in a couple of weeks. But in Illinois, people are going to have to wait, as you said, till March 1st. And, you know, it's just unfortunate for hardworking folks in Illinois. But you can get your federal.
Here's the thing, David, and this is why, I fully advocate you pick a professional. Because I had a tax issue last year, and it was a unique tax issue in that I got a large check, significant check, that I didn't think I deserved. Now, I tried to do the right thing for weeks. Remember I was talking about this?
I remember this, yes.
And, David, reaching the IRS is impossible. I don't mean, you know, tough to do. I mean impossible. Eventually, I went to an IRS office, and it turns out I was entitled because I had overpaid. But there was literally no explanation. They just sent me a check for a lot of money. Nothing, just an envelope
exactly.
For the IRS. So with no explanation, I wanted to do the right thing and make sure this wasn't money that I shouldn't have gotten, or later on down the road that I'd end up in jail. But this is another reason to use a professional, because I dare you to try to reach the IRS if you are a regular tax-paying American.
Yeah, I mean, they've had $500 million a year tax cuts. You know, you're on hold forever, and so that is the benefit of sitting out with a tax pro and figuring your. Because most tax law changes every year, but people's life changes every year. You have a baby, you get married, you start a business. All of those things change your taxes, and so that's, you know, one of the things that. Yeah, you know, we're trying to help folks do, and yeah, getting through the IRS is just very, very difficult.
All right, so we tend to overlook deductions. A lot of people don't know if they should go long form, short form. Let's start there. If you're a millennial and, you know, you're making okay money, but you're not making the money you're going to make later in life, is it worth it to do the deductions thing?
Often it is, and that's where, I mean, there's the deduction thing may come from student loans. that people forget they can deduct the interest on. There's some a lot of millennials are going back to school and taking other classes, and so there's some credits to get. And so it is worth checking it out, and it changes very, very quickly. And especially, you know, a lot of millennials are starting businesses, and they're doing consulting, and so all of those things. It's not just the long form; it's all the other benefits or retirement accounts and the like. So, you know, on balance, it is.
David, I know you always tell people when you have, if you have 401k, max out. If you do have a 401k, though, can you still put money in an IRA, or is that kind of off the table now because you have the 401k?
No, some people can. It depends if you max out on your 401k. So we certainly encourage people to max out on the 401k up to the match. You can put up to, I think, around $5,000 this year in your IRA. And one of the interesting things, if you're, you know, if you're, you know, getting close to my age, you know, in the 50, you can put another $1,000 into your IRA. So there are ways to do both.
The overlooked deductions conversation that happens every year, there's things that people just frankly forget. What are two or three of those?
Well, it depends. You know, I'll tell you, one of the things is working moms and single moms forget to check head of household, and it costs them a lot of money every year. We see a lot of people overlooking, honestly, their investment, you know, their deduction sometimes, you know, for their IRAs. One of the biggest things out there is earned income credit. Probably, you know, families making less than 50 grand can get up to $6,000. About a third of it just goes unused in the United States because people don't know. So there's a lot of them out there, pages and pages. And so that's, you know, as you said, it's part of just sitting down with folks and doing a life interview and figuring out what you're owed.
Charitable contributions still as good as they've always been?
Yeah, and getting they're good and both cash and property and all that, and so people who are you know, like-minded to give away what they've earned, it's a good way to do good and take a tax deduction.
You know, we've been talking about the Powerball for most of the last week. If I win, say, $700-800 million on Saturday, I should probably call you right on your cell then at that point, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you can text, and we'll get right back to you. But, yeah, you'll pay your 30 or 40 points, but you'll still have a lot of dough to go have a good time with.
You're doing something with American Express. Talk about that.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, one of the things we really care about is people getting fast, cheap access to their money. So we just announced this week a deal with American Express, First in Taxes, where we're letting people get their refund 2 days faster than they normally would from the government when they actually have it put on an American Express Serve card. So that's a big deal for a lot of folks. That's, you know, buying groceries today versus next week and paying bills. And it also, a lot of people, unfortunately, get their refund on a check, and it's hard to cash a tax check, and they have to pay, you know, 2-3 points to these check cashers. So we got 24,000 free ATMs. They can go to Walmart and get their refund off for $10. It's a really, you know, good deal for consumers.
And Jackson Hewitt locations in tons of Walmarts, or where else are we finding it?
Yeah, you know, in your listener 200, we're, you know, 6,000 around the country, but we've got 250 stores in Chicagoland and in all the neighborhoods where your listeners live, plus you know, another 60 or 80 in Walmarts around Chicago.
JacksonHewitt.com or 800-234-1040 is a resource for you. David, I appreciate it. Nice job. Now make some of your other people work.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
That's David Prokopek from JacksonHewitt.com. And we're going to try to sprinkle in tax experts and get some texter questions and things. I mean, some of this stuff can get really detailed and specific. So we got to pick general questions that, you know, kind of apply to the most people, like was the case in that conversation.
I used to do TurboTax. I know they say you can do it on your own, but for me,
TurboTax
it's easier.
Is a breeze.
It is.
It's a breeze.
I'd rather just have somebody look over all my stuff, though, because
yeah.
You never know that you will miss stuff that they will get
absolutely
more money for.
I have a great accountant who I like very much, but he refuses to commit felonies. And that's the one thing that we seem to disagree on. So he says, no, we're going to do this legally. And I said, how does that help me? It's 9:23. Let's come back. And before 10 o'clock, my friend Mark Giangreco will be on to try to explain what the hell he was thinking on New Year's Eve. Back with that on 720 WGN. Want to congratulate Jay Levine. Jay announced he's retiring.
Yeah.
I like Jay.
Great guy, great reporter.
We used to play a lot of golf. I must have angered him or something. We played a lot of golf, and then we didn't play any golf anymore.
Maybe you got better than he did.
No, he's a good player.
Is he good?
He's always a good player. And, of course, he's done Steve Martin stunt work for years. So, so congratulations to Jay. All-star team in the NHL. Again, the all-star game in the NHL. It's the honor of being named.
Right.
And named to the all-star team from your Blackhawks, Kane and Taves. But no Crawford, huh?
No Crawford. Although, maybe it's not all bad because gives him a little extra rest.
Well, you could still be named and not go.
You could be named, yeah. That's, I guess, the point.
Artemi Panarin, great last night. In case you missed it, a couple of goals again. 4 goals in the last 2 games.
I mean, I think he's got the Calder Cup, his top rookie. He's well on his way.
The Tonight Show, I'm just going through a bunch of stories here that we don't have time to do at other places during the show. Tonight Show's bringing back Donald Trump. I believe the best part of the Trump campaign was the bit he did with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show, where Fallon was dressed up like Trump. Trump was on the other side of the mirror, and they talked to each other.
That was
Trump
classic.
Talking to Trump. And I don't even know if Trump knew he was being mocked.
I don't know who did Trump better, Fallon or Trump.
Back to football briefly. The St. Louis Rams look like they are moving out of St. Louis and to Los Angeles in an application, I suppose, to move to the National Football League, if that's the right term for it. They basically slammed St. Louis, a city that they won a Super Bowl in and supported them for the last 20 years.
Right. And now they're going back to a city that they abandoned many years ago.
Right.
But there are 3 teams which have applied to the NFL to move there, the Raiders, the Chargers. Those two are going in together on a stadium deal in Carson, California. And then the Rams have also applied.
There is an owner named Stan Kroenke,
mm-hmm.
who is a British guy and also owns one of the MLS Premier League teams. I don't know which one it is. And he's got a ton of money. You are at the whim of billionaires when you are a fan of a professional sports team. And even though we've seen way less moves than we did for a period of time, it's still very painful for a city to lose a franchise.
No, absolutely. And it gets into a situation where cities are basically forced to ante up and build a new stadium or come up with some kind of a deal
right.
for these teams to keep them. And there's an understanding there that they are bringing revenue in. But on the other hand, these teams are owned by billionaires. And we saw the Cubs have put out their own money to make all the changes to Wrigley Field. It can be done. So
it's crazy. Yeah, it is. It is without a doubt. And what is the fate of the San Diego Chargers?
This is all going to be sorted out. I believe the owners will be meeting next week and they will vote on the relocation applications.
And finally, the most important issue for all of our times, and I didn't have a chance to talk about this yesterday, Brian Urlacher now has hair.
Yes.
And Andre, you said you like it.
I do. It does look a little fake and unusual because we've known him as bald Brian Urlacher for so long, but I think it looks good.
Yeah, I feel badly because I don't see him at the meetings anymore.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily a fan.
I feel like
he deserted us.
Didn't he say how long did it take him to grow that out? I mean, it took him a while to grow that much hair out.
He must have looked funny for a while.
Well, but he went to Eddie Olczyk's dealer.
Right.
Oh.
Eddie Olczyk's hair dealer.
Eddie Olczyk has great hair.
Well, Eddie had the little spot in the back that he did the transplant on, which is he's doing the endorsements for now. And I'd give the company a plug, but I can't remember what it is. But Urlacher did the same thing, right?
Is that Eddie's hair on
Urlacher?
I believe so.
They took hair from Eddie Olczyk and put it on Urlacher's head?
Yeah, that's it, apparently.
And for the record, Eddie looks good, too.
Well, you and Eddie have always had a thing. Mary, do you like Urlacher with hair?
Yeah, I kind of like it, actually. Can you borrow hair from someone else?
Well, I don't think it's borrowing.
Yeah, then you make a wig.
I think if you take hair from somebody else, you're probably not giving it back. So you like it as well.
We don't know if it's
I do. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
do like it. Yeah.
Ask our AP if she likes it.
Yeah. Do you like Brian Urlacher's new hair? She said not really.
She just, you know what? She argues with us on everything.
Yeah, whatever we say.
And then she just screams shy down and turned around.
Kevin, do you like Urlacher with hair?
No.
I don't either.
No, it looks weird.
Dave? I mean, some people say that I don't really get a vote because of, I've got stake in the game here.
Do you feel like he's turned his back on the community?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
your
man, he went to the other side.
Yeah, he left us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he absolutely.
So you're a little bitter.
Yeah, well, I just think, you know, if you're bald on it. You know what I mean?
Restore is the company.
Yeah.
Restore. There are so many great memes out there of Urlacher with different hairstyles.
Yeah.
That's been the best part of this. Yeah. He's got the Fabio look going.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's funny to you, isn't it, Dave?
No, it was funny to Urlacher.
Having a great head of hair, I guess my pain is amusing to you.
Oh, no. You're misunderstanding.
It's the coif.
I got to tell you, I wished I had shaved my head years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Because like a year and a half ago. Like right now, my hair is long.
No.
No, it's long. At a quarter of an inch, the hair I have remaining on my head is too long, so I'm going to get buzzed again.
Does your hairstylist still fake cut?
She was air cutting for a while until I caught her. Yeah. Snip, 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 and realize she's just doing it to make me feel better.
Would you consider doing this?
No. No, that ship has sailed. Yeah. No. Honestly, if I came in with hair, how hard would you people laugh?
No.
Oh, we wouldn't laugh.
No.
Behind my back.
Oh behind your back, yeah.
That's what I thought. All right, what am I doing, Kevin?
I would laugh, by the way. It's time for the big story with Atria.
Standing by for my friend Mark J. Greco. I love Mark J. Greco.
Love Mark.
Incredibly talented. He does more with 4 minutes than anybody in the country. But also, he's just a great guy.
Yep, easy on the eyes.
And a great dad. So I was as shocked as you were when I was watching New Year's Eve when he committed a felony on live TV.
I wouldn't call it a felony, would you?
You wouldn't?
Well, what do you guys think? It's gross, but...
It was shocking. It was truly shocking. Let me just take you around the world in what happened afterwards. From the Daily Mail in London, Chicago's Mark Giangreco kicks 2016 off by licking his co-host's face. From the Daily Star in Australia, creepy TV host licks co-star's face live on screen. From Nine News, Australia, TV presenter ushers in New Year by licking co-host's face. There's also a headline in Italian that I can't even read other than the word Giangreco. But I know that it involves licking.
It didn't say grazie.
It's unbelievable. We will get to my friend Mark here in just a second. But first, we have a major traffic issue brewing. What's happening, Mayor? A
couple cars and semi collided, involved in an accident. Inbound side of the Bishop Ford at 115th, and all lanes are blocked. Police and fire department on the scene. Inbound Bishop Ford, 115th.
So I did the New Year's Eve show in Crystal Lake. And, you know, we had, 1,200 people, I guess. And it was great. Had a ton of fun. But the New Year's Eve for people who can't stay awake at midnight means I'm home by midnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get home and I'm watching my friend Mark Giangreco.
Great show. Yeah.
And Mark Giangreco is always great. And I've known Janet Davies forever, and I like Janet very much as well. But Mark is my guy. Mark's always been my guy. So to see him commit a crime live on TV.
I don't think it was a crime.
Well, let's go to the source here. Mark Giangreco joins us now from ABC7.
Happy New Year, Stevie.
I'm guessing you haven't heard enough about this in the last week and a half, huh?
Oh, my God. It just went viral, and I mean like a disease.
Yeah, my concern for Janet is, were you tested to see if you were viral?
I was. We were practicing safe lick. Here's the deal. I have to do something different every year. I apparently jumped the shark this time. See, I didn't want to lose a bet. I had a bet with my radio buddies, Waddle and Sylvie, and I could not lose the bet.
What was the bet?
Whether I do it or not.
So you actually talked about the lick ahead of time.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something quickly. I guess I could just go way overboard and just make up something about in China it's the year of the dog. You know?
But here's the thing, because Mark is – the women love Mark, and not just because he got a great head of hair. But Mark,
by the way, I'm losing some of my hair, so I think I'm going to go have the Brian Urlacher chia pet.
We were laughing about the idea if I came in with hair, how funny it would be to the people that work here.
You would look like Costanza with the bad wig.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why you don't do it, and that's why you don't do it. All right, so here's the thing, and this is what surprised me because he's a rookie ears all around. First off, you never look at a woman and use the word dog in the sentence prior to looking at a woman. Secondly, the way you grabbed her to bring her close to you looked like an attack, and then tongue came out.
You mean?
Yeah, the neck grab. It was all scary.
I know. You know what? If you look at it, just the regular speed, it's not that bad. But slow it down, or if you freeze frame it, it's pretty horrifying. I was actually going for her fake eyelash on the right side, if I could just lick the eyelash. Because then she would look like that dog from The Young Rascals.
See, you did it again. You said dog again. No. She's a beautiful lady. You know it.
There
she's
you go. The dog has the circle around his eye, so it would be like one eye's all made up. And then the other one would look like a glass eye, you know, with no mascara.
So wrong.
I love Janet. She's my TV wife. She was horrified. So I think next year we're just going to go with a handshake.
What did she say in the break? What did she say?
She's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, at this point in my career, I really don't care. So, you know, you can have-
well, there is that. There is that. But, you know, to take the heat from your friends like me, you knew that was coming.
Oh, gosh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I had several people, excoriate me for that, but, you know.
Our old friend Tom Waddle, worked here forever, and Sylvia, Mark Silverman at ESPN Radio, where you were on all the time. Yes. Were they pleased with themselves that they caused this to happen, to make you an international sensation?
They were so proud of me. It was like it was a guy thing. He was like, yeah, man, that's awesome, like. I see guys on the street, you know, just going, ooh, that was awesome. And then every woman I see is like, you're a disgusting pig. So,
which you don't normally get as a reaction.
Well, you know, sometimes I do. But see, now that's changed my whole life. Like, I'm heading into my Pilates class right now. I'm actually taking Pilates. So what
was this part of your work release program so you wouldn't be thrown in jail?
Yes, it is. You have to do Pilates for 6 months with a little ankle tape. But what I do is I go in there and I just lick all the equipment to mark my territory, and I get started. So.
All right, now answer me, riddle me this, Batman. Were you buzzed at all?
No, not at all. I don't ever drink on the show. Just at the end, I actually take a sip
of the champagne.
Yeah, no, I'm just naturally kind of buzzed these days.
Was she?
Well, Janet would have to drink.
I tell you, she was chugging a bottle of vodka after that. It's like mouthwash. You know?
Her doctor told her it would help in case there was an infection brewing. All right, so
I'm never going to be able to live that down. It's like my kids are, you know, my kids all live out of town. They're like, Dad, seriously? What are you doing?
That's the problem, right? Because I know how much you love your sons. That guy, by the way, if you had a daughter, this never would have happened.
You're exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I never would have been able to handle a daughter at all.
No, but if you had a daughter, you would have thought, I can't do this, Waddle. I don't care how funny an idea it is, because my daughter might see it.
Exactly. He has four daughters.
Right.
So, you know, he would never do it, but, of course, he would bait me into doing it. And I'm an idiot, so I just buy that. Like, oh, yeah? Yeah,
that's the Waddle we love.
Oh, God.
So anyway, you know this Urlacher thing, he made the rounds. You know, you see on the GN Morning News, and he came over to Windy City Live at our place, and our morning anchor, Terrell Brown, asks him, so who has better hair, you or Gian Greco? And he says, oh, you know, back in the day, he had a great head of hair, but he's getting older now. I'm sure it's falling out, where mine is brand new, and it's thick, and it's growing. So I think I have the better hair. And I said later, little does he know that I'm actually a donor for that company.
Well, it had to come from somewhere, and you've got the full garden.
Hey, he could be wearing my back and chest hair for all you know.
Well, let's hope it's your back.
Actually, you cannot. Actually, I heard you guys earlier. Yeah, you cannot have somebody else's hair transplanted into your head.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Because I looked it up on RestoreHair.com. Gosh, they got so much pub out of that.
Well, Mark's hair is real, and I know that because, you know, sometimes at night if he doesn't feel good about the newscast, I'll run my fingers through his hair and tell him he's still pretty.
That's right. I always come to your door. I always knock on your door and go, Stevie, I can't sleep. Can you run my hair?
Just when you thought this couldn't get any weirder.
Yeah. By the way, as opposed to my friend Sapelsa, that's a rug. That's been a rug for years.
No, but he let it go. He's not painting the fenders anymore. It's white. It's like white.
I'm still
touching it up on the sides a little bit.
Sapelsa calls it silver, I think.
Yeah,
oh,
silver. Yeah.
Silver fox. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, of course.
I call it pewter.
Well, listen, if you need bail money, let me know. But I like the idea that you're working this out through community service. And, you know what we're waiting for? You know each year when the president gets a physical and then the reporter stands outside? There's going to be a reporter outside of Janet Davies' house when the tests come back.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. She's pregnant, but she doesn't have, you know, any other issues.
That's the other class apparently you missed. All right, go into your Pilates class.
I will, buddy. It's great to talk to you. And you owe me lunch, by the way.
I do owe you lunch, and you're a good man for being a man and coming on. And don't ever listen to Waddle and Sylvie, any other idea that they have, run.
I apologize to the entire United States and the United Kingdom.
Yeah, well, Australia, too. All right, man, I'll see you. That's Margie and Greco. Well, he's a good man. He manned up. He took it, yeah, took it like a man.
We got to get Janet on. I'm telling you. Find out the test results of
that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
We do need that. We need Janet on to talk about whether or not she's going to be okay.
And file a restraining order.
Oh, I'm sure that was filed almost instantaneously. Can you see the HR director at Channel 7 going, I don't even have a form for this?
That would be on the Cochran HR app.
Bill and Wendy coming up, 720 WGN. And I'm sure you guys covered this, you know, in the last couple of days, but just glad to have you here on Chi-Town's favorite radio station.
Jeez.
That's how we refer to our city, as Chi-Town. That's all we call it.
We got a bunch of texters, and I don't know why we didn't bring this up. We were talking about what we call it. Everybody just says the city, going to the city.
Yeah.
Or downtown.
Yeah, I work in the city.
But they had the band Chi-Town performed, so maybe there was some kind
of tie-in. That was Chicago.
No, I call them Chi-Town.
No, you don't.
I always call that band Chi-Town.
Well, they're new. You probably aren't familiar with the name. But did you guys didn't go?
We watched. No. I watched it on television grumpily.
The Mario Lopez thing was weird, too. So why do you have Mario Lopez in town?
He's more national. They should have Dean Richards. That's what I said.
Totally.
Oh, Channel 5.
Billy Deck, Gail King. That's a show.
Oh, my God.
That's who you get.
Well, I like Billy. Billy could do it. Billy's a Chicago guy.
But Bill and Wendy.
Billy's a Chi-Town guy.
Yes, he is a Chi-Town guy.
You guys. That's his middle name.
Funny.
Billy Chi-Town Deck.
But we were not, so we do not approve of that. We do not approve of Chi-Town. And we don't, you know, you guys know Mario Lopez? He's a nice guy.
Is he a nice guy? He seems nice.
He's a nice guy.
But he's cute.
Yeah, we, you know, I get confused for each other. What?
So. He's got nice abs.
Yeah,
he's kind of a workout.
So that's why we did.
I know,
because
you are too.
We don't need Mario Lopez. We need a new name, and we don't need Mario Lopez.
Right. That's true.
How about Ronnie Woo Woo?
Oh, my good God. Don't you want people to watch?
Woo Woo's New Year's Eve Chi-Town?
Woo Woo's Eve.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, I just had Jan Greco on talking about the licking that he gave to Janet Davies.
Yep.
For those of you not familiar with that sentence.
I missed that.
You don't know the story?
No. I love Mark Giangreco. What has happened to him?
Oh.
Giangreco, right before they go to the last break, the break right before they do the countdown for midnight, there's a break like in 5 minutes to the top of the hour. So right before they go to the last break, he goes, you ready, Chicago? Well, do you have the clip still? Did you put it away? Never mind. Kevin's already taken over. He goes to the break. Comes out of the break. He goes, you ready, Chicago? I heard in China it's the year of the dog. Nice thing to say to a woman sitting next to you. And then grabs Janet Davies here.
By the neck.
And then pulls her over and licks her face.
Oh, no.
You know what?
It went international.
It's 50 Shades of New Year's Eve.
I love that.
What?
I think it's cool.
No, he licked her from like the chin all the way up, like a face lick.
You didn't see it.
I'm going to go look for it.
But I talked to Mark a second ago, and he's working it out with community service.
He's taking Pilates.
One of the things he's doing is part of his sensitivity training. He's taking a Pilates class.
Here in Chi-Town, he's doing that?
He's doing it in Chi-Town.
They should have him lick stamps if he could still lick them.
You know, here's the ultimate penalty. He goes to work, and he licks Majors and Jerry Taft.
That's what he should have to do.
Yeah.
At the beginning of every broadcast.
You know how many times Bill has licked Jerry Taft?
A couple of times.
Or would you like to call him my little beef jerky?
Can I tell you what? He's a lot saltier than you think he'd be.
It's the makeup.
It is the makeup.
Perhaps. And it was the perm solution that dripped down because it was in the 80s when he had the perm.
Maybe that's what it was, but a lot saltier than I'd anticipated.
How many people do you think in the last 15 minutes have gone, what the hell happened to WG? What are you guys doing today?
We're going to talk to Josh Davis from our good friends at Apt Electronics. He's at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Some cool stuff.
I know. I would like to just go there and look, and I wish they'd give me 10 minutes to just grab what I can.
How about that?
Ask him about the Fit Bra.
All right.
He was looking for that. There's also self-lacing gym shoes that he was looking for.
Right. And Skinny Pete from Lindemann Chimney will be joining us. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
It's chimney season.
Oh, that's tremendous.
So Skinny Pete will be on.
I'll be back tomorrow with my fit men's panties. So that'll be great. Gene Greco just sent them over. And
free licked.
Shytown.
Hey,
come on. See you tomorrow.